The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
For you as a big to get out on the perimeter and chase these guys around, how much of a challenge is that?
Mate, I don't envy guards, mate. They're quick little monkeys, those guys.
Hey, congratulations. Good game, man. Good game. Yep.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jungle Fever, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. 713-780-3776.
Yeah, if you missed that, that was Steven Adams, the center for the Thunder, being asked about if he's glad that he doesn't have to defend Steph Curry and Klay Thompson on the perimeter. And he calls them fast little monkeys, which is probably, I mean, like I said, that's, if I said that, it would be problematic.
Bob Arum could probably get away with it.
Probably.
But yeah, that I don't think he, although the way he hesitated a little bit,
right?
That's the only thing that kind of gives me pause, because I'm willing to give him a pass just because I have run into this a lot with people from different cultures. But you are right. He has been here for a while, and he hesitated for just a second. Kind of makes you think. Then maybe he's hiding behind the New Zealand thing?
Maybe so.
I don't know. We need a New Zealander to kind of fill us in on what's going on with that. It's 713-780-3776. Also, reminder that it is a local music Tuesday, so all the music you hear, all the bumper music, local. If you like what you hear, John tweets out the names of them. Please check them out. Some really good bands. I'll ask you this, because this comes up every day now where somebody is tweeting something about this. Are Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather just totally trolling us now?
I think so.
Is that what this whole thing is?
I think so. But I mean, crazier things have happened.
Yeah.
You know, if they realize they can make some money off of it, I could see him doing it.
Well, it's just Conor McGregor tweeting a picture of him, his boxing boots. Come on, guys. And it becomes news. Everybody's talking about it. Like, if you're going to fight, fight. Otherwise, stop this. Hey, so we have three of these to give away, Jong. I need to give these to the people.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll do one now, and then we'll do two more the next segment. All right, this is only if you can be at Quaker Steak and Lube on Friday. Okay, I'm glad I read this first. Otherwise, I'd be asking people if they knew what it takes to eat the triple Amatic wings. I don't know what Amatic wings are.
Yeah, you do.
Do I?
They're Amatic.
Okay. Is that anything like erotic? I don't know.
Same thing.
Do you have what it takes to eat the triple Atomic wings from Quaker Steak and Lube? Here's your chance to prove it. You'll be entered into the Quaker Steak and Lube Wing Eating Challenge this Friday at Quaker Steak and Lube on 45 and FM 646. If you can eat your way to the finish, you'll win a $100 gift card to Quaker Steak and Lube. Check out Quaker Steak and Lube online at thelube.com. Caller 10, but make sure you can be there. All right, so they're triple Amatic wings. Let's see what else we have here. Challenge with C-H-A-L-L-A-N-G-E.
Challenge.
Challenge is a French thing. I don't even want to. Just anyway. So there you go. Caller 10, who can be there. You're entered in the... And be ready to eat some Atomic wings. Or Amatic wings. Whichever one's...
Both, preferably.
Hey, speaking of Twitter, I don't know. I think this is good news. You know, one thing that kind of irritates me on the 140 character limit is when you have a link or a photo.
It takes up the
it takes up a big chunk.
Characters. Yeah.
Twitter is going to eliminate that.
Oh, good.
It will soon stop counting photos and links as part of its 140 character limit for messages, according to a person familiar with the matter from Bloomberg.
That's a really good idea.
Change could happen in the next 2 weeks, said the person who asked not to be named, because the decision isn't yet public. Links currently take up 23 characters, even after Twitter automatically shortens them.
Yeah.
No comment from Twitter, but this is a report from Bloomberg that this is going to happen in the next couple weeks.
It needs to happen. That's a much needed move.
Good job, Twitter. Yeah, I got to say,
You're four.
I'm four. Manny seems to think the hesitation was because he was going to drop an MF, and then he went with monkey.
Okay.
Maybe. Maybe. That's always a possibility. But, yeah, a lot of people suggesting that.
Well, I mean, there's no way to prove one way or the other. I guess I tend to give him the benefit of the doubt, but it's hard to know for sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. More often than not, people from different cultures, I'm going to give them a pass when it comes to stuff like that because, well, you know, you say that, and then some of those soccer people in Europe say a hell of a lot worse things than that. Mm-hmm. And what was it? They were throwing bananas on the field at a black player.
Oh, those guys are just racist.
Yeah. So maybe we shouldn't give them a pass. I don't know. I tend to try to give people the benefit of the doubt in most things in life, but hopefully he knows now not to do that again. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. You remember when the Rockets were really after Chris Bosh this last time and that didn't work out?
I do remember. They sent the Rowdies.
Well, not this time, not the second time.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Most recently, when they thought they were going to get him and keep Chandler Parsons,
right,
and this whole thing was going to happen. Apparently, there's concern within the Heat organization that team doctors will never clear him to play again.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Of course, this is from Brian Windhorst, who, unless it's LeBron James, I tend to take everything he says with a grain of salt. But he said that if he doesn't play before February 9, 2017, an independent doctor can assess the situation and give the NBA a record. If that doctor does not clear Bosch, his contract comes off the books.
Oh, wow.
And
you think the Heat want that?
Well, no, they want to have him back, and he wants to play. But if doctors won't clear him, and they say a recurrence of the blood clot issue could be life-threatening.
Because
that's not what he says in those commercials with Arnold Palmer and all those guys, where he's taking whatever that is. It's always like, oh, I'm fine.
Right.
Maybe that's not working. You've seen that commercial, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
I'll have an Arnold Palmer.
What sucks for the Heat is it's a tough decision because since LeBron left, Chris Bosh has turned into, a much more effective player. They were able to get him involved in the offense more. The sad thing is he's played way less games. He hasn't played a full season since LeBron left. But when LeBron left, it let him kind of shine. And I think the Heat, if they're going to be good, like really good, they need that guy.
I don't think they're ever going to be really good. I think they'll be a team that could lose to the Cavs in the conference finals. I mean, they could have gotten by the Raptors, but I guess that's really good since. But I'm making the conference finals to me seems like their ceiling, even with him. So Lamont says Hillary could get away with saying that. You know who could get away with saying that? Trump. Because he can say anything. Trump can say anything and nobody, it never sticks, right?
Yeah.
Be like, he says that and everybody, oh, okay, cool. 281 says Bosch turned into Toronto Bosch once LeBron left. He was never that good in Toronto. He was always the best player on a really bad team and he put up good numbers.
There's a lot of people think he's got a little Kevin Love to him.
Well,
you know, Kevin Love was, when he was in Minnesota, he looked really good because he piled up a bunch of numbers. But it's questionable how great of a player he is, I guess. But when you're the only good player on a team, you're going to put up numbers. Chris Bosh was that. Kevin Love was that for a while. I mean,
yeah.
I think those guys are good players. I just don't think that they're as good as you would believe if you just looked at the numbers they put up in those places.
Yeah, I mean, I know, in both cases, neither one is a guy who can carry a team and make the playoffs consistently and be on a team that's a legitimate contender unless they're the second or third guy. And I think that's exactly what you saw with Chris Bosh, and it's what you're seeing with Kevin Love. That's kind of what those guys are. All right. How about we give away another spot in the wing eating contest? You got to be available Friday to come to Quaker Steak and Lube, and you got to be willing to eat the Atomic Wings. Atomic Wings. Anyway, first caller who's free Friday and is willing to participate, you will be entered in the Quaker Steak and Lube Wing Eating Challenge this Friday. If you can eat your way to the finish, you get a $100 gift card to Quaker Steak and Lube. Check out Quaker Steak and Lube online at thelube.com. First caller at 713-780-3776. Be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. All right, we have one spot left to give away to this, John.
Give away two?
I've given away two.
Yes, one more.
Okay, because I've got giveaways out the yazoo here, and I want to make sure that we do them all because I want to take care of the people. So one more spot in the wing eating contest Friday, Quaker Steak and Lube. If you can eat your way to the finish, you'll win a $100 gift card to Quaker Steak and Lube. Check out Quaker Steak and Lube online at thelube.com. Third caller. Who's available Friday? All right, I'm going to play a little game. I know you like games.
I do.
I have an article from Fox on NFL quarterbacks who are under the most pressure to execute in 2016.
Okay.
So that means under the most pressure to not suck. So I'm going to give you a name, and then I'm going to give you a number of wins for their team, and you tell me whether that's executing or not for them, assuming they're healthy all year and they're the reason the team does well. Does that make sense?
Okay, so you're going to give me a name.
Or and a number of wins for the team.
And I'm going to tell you if that's enough?
Yeah, if dude failed or succeeded.
Okay.
Number one on their list is Sam Bradford, Philadelphia, because he is the highest paid quarterback in NFL history without a playoff appearance.
Okay. He's making a lot of money.
He's making a ton of money. I'll set the number at 8 wins.
Eight wins. They've got Carson Wentz.
But assuming Wentz never plays, that this is Bradford all year.
Right.
8 wins, is that?
That's probably not enough for him to be the starter in 2017.
Okay. Kirk Cousins, Washington Redskins, who got the franchise tag.
Okay.
I'm going to set that at 9 wins.
I think he could, if he went 8-8, they'd probably, depending on if he's just terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, if
but they made the playoffs last year, so right. And with the franchise tag, I'm kind of setting that as a standard. I think 9 wins has to be it to get you in.
If he's the reason they get less than 9 wins, then he'll be gone.
Okay.
But, I mean, he could play well, and the rest of that team is still pretty bad.
All right. Jay Cutler, Chicago Bears. 33 years old, still just one playoff victory.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 9 wins for him.
I think that Jay Cutler, I don't know what the win number is.
I think they have to make the playoffs.
Yeah, he's got to make the
playoffs. And so I'm putting it at 9. So
if he doesn't make the playoffs this year, he's probably gone in Chicago, but he'll be a starter somewhere in 2017 either way, because there's somebody who will say, well, yeah, he's way better than what we've got, and we'll take a chance on him.
Colin Kaepernick, San Francisco, 7 wins.
Oh, if
would that be a successful year for? I think it would be because he's garbage.
If the Niners win 7 games, whoever quarterbacked them to 7 wins is a damn miracle worker. Even if it is Colin Kaepernick, who I don't think is very good.
All right, here we get into the interesting ones. Andrew Luck, who obviously had a very bad year last year, I'm going to set his number at 11 because that's what they've done every year.
Besides
last year. If they don't win 11 games, has he had a bad season?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He's one of those guys, and I say this all the time. The Colts rise and fall with Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck's playing well, the Colts will win a lot of games. If he's not, they won't. And that's for the foreseeable future with the way that team drafts. So I'll say yeah, that'd be a bad season.
All right.
He'll still get paid.
Here's an obvious... Oh, yeah, he's still going to get paid. Here's an obvious one for you. Brock Osweiler. And I will set the number at... Got to win one more game than you did with that collection of idiots last year, right? So I'll set it at 10.
If they win less than 10, is it a disappointment?
I don't know. 9-7 probably wouldn't be a disappointment, but it also kind of would be.
Would 9-7 get them into the playoffs?
Probably.
If it does, then you're probably okay. But if Andrew Luck wins 10 or 11, you're not getting in the playoffs with 9 wins.
Well, you don't know what the rest of the league's going to be like. That's the thing. Every year, there's teams we think are good that wind up being garbage.
I think if he misses the playoffs, then at least the first year will be a disappointment. But I also think that you can't make a snap call after 1 year of a guy.
And you want to see progress, but it's kind of the same team that won 9 games with a bunch of garbage at quarterback.
And no running back.
Running back, and they've added all these other weapons on offense. So theoretically, I don't think 10's too much to ask. Matt Ryan, who's 30 years old but posted his lowest passer rating since 2009. Says he makes far too many baffling decisions, doesn't make enough big plays. $21 million salary. I'm going to set his number also at 9.
Oh, he better win 9 games there. That's
because that'd be 3 pretty bad years in a row.
Yeah, he's not getting better. And he should be in his prime, like you said. Mm-hmm. He's just not. So, yeah, if he doesn't win 9 games, that's absolutely a disappointment.
Okay, here's another guy, former number one overall pick, Matthew Stafford, Detroit Lions. I'm going to set his number at 9. Even without Calvin Johnson, at some point, shouldn't this guy carry you to a 9-win season?
I wonder what they're going to look like without Calvin Johnson.
They look a lot like they did last year because he wasn't Calvin Johnson last year.
Yeah,
he was still good player, but he wasn't Calvin Johnson.
They probably, if he wants to be considered a legit star NFL quarterback, he better be able to win 9 games. I don't know if he'll be able to, but he's another guy like Cutler that... If Detroit wasn't paying him, somebody would.
Ryan Tannehill, your Miami Dolphins, gets a lot of money for mediocre returns. I think 9 wins is...
If he doesn't win 9 games, then he's in trouble of losing his job.
And
because they've put a lot around that guy.
The last guy on their list, and then I'm going to add a guy who I think deserves to be on this list, but Tyrod Taylor, Pro Bowl season last year.
Yeah.
Up for a contract. I think 9 wins is a number for him, too. If he leads him to a winning record, he gets paid, right?
If he wins 9 games, he'll probably get paid. If they don't make the playoffs, though, they're already looking at a situation where they're going to have to struggle. They're going to have to make some changes to pay him. If he wins 10 games, they're going to have to cut some people to pay him.
And the coach, if they don't make the playoffs, the coach is getting fired, and you're probably starting from scratch anyway. All right, the guy that's not on this list that I think... is, I don't want to say he's under the most pressure of all these guys, because obviously guys like Osweiler and Andrew Luck's going to be under some pressure because of what he's accomplished in the past. But the guy who, to me, takes the step this year, if Teddy Bridgewater can actually make that leap, to me, the Vikings are a Super Bowl contender. If he doesn't, they're not.
Yeah.
And he ought to be on this list because I don't want to oversimplify it. I think they've got enough talent now on both sides of the ball that if that guy can turn into a real quarterback and not just a guy who's handing off and protecting the football, then that's a team that is a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
If he wins 6 or 7 games this year, though, I don't think anyone's going to be saying Teddy Bridgewater's a total bust. I think he's got another season.
No, but your window with Adrian Peterson is getting smaller and smaller.
No doubt.
And to me, that team should win 10 or 11 games. And for that to happen, he has to go from being... okay to really good.
Okay.
So I'll
give you that.
Anyway. So there you go. 713-780.
A little football talk on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Complain about that.
I'd love quarterback talk, right? But somebody asked, what about Romo? Super pressure to stay healthy. Romo's not a question mark. If Romo's healthy, Cowboys are a playoff team. If he's not healthy, that's the only question. It's not about performance.
Yeah.
Unless you're worried that these injuries have eroded some of his skills.
Well, and if he's not healthy again, they're probably going to start moving
forward. And guys, come on, man. I know, Cowboy fan, you can't mention any quarterback list without putting Romo on it, but this is specifically about guys who have to perform this year or else. And, Romo's not in that category. Romo is a pretty damn good quarterback who, if he's healthy, you don't have to worry about it. Anyway, 713-780-ESPN. It's funny. I had like 10 Romo questions. That's not what the list was about, okay? Got to go back and can I so do I have to read the introduction of what the list was about again?
No. Okay. Not necessary.
Yeah. These are guys who might not be starters much longer if they can't excel this fall. That's not Romo. Romo's healthy. He's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway. Somebody asked, what number does Drew Brees have to hit for them not to push him into retirement? I don't think he's not really going anywhere because you don't have a succession plan there.
I mean, he's going to have to take significantly less money.
At some point, but apparently that hasn't happened yet.
Think about this. Let's say the Saints have a bad season. They don't make the playoffs. They win 5-6 games. They're bad. And let's say Jay Cutler doesn't get the Bears to the playoffs. Jay Cutler's a free agent. Would you rather pay Jay Cutler or re-sign Drew Brees?
Boy, those are my only options.
I mean, let's just say those are the best options available.
But because if Jay Cutler's available, it means he was crap too. And he's younger crap.
It either means he was crap or it means that he couldn't get the Bears to the playoffs, which isn't necessarily all his fault.
No, but I mean, at what point do we quit giving him a pass for all that? Because this is not just one year.
I don't think anybody gives him a pass, but I mean,
if he's available, it's because he wasn't very good this year.
Okay.
I mean, if he's really good, even if they don't make the playoffs, then he's not available. But they're not going to let him go.
But the point is, let's say Cutler or Stafford or someone like that has a bad year where they're at.
Stafford, I'd be more likely to go after than Cutler.
Okay. But I think either way.
Brees is off the books in 2017, too. So.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, for 2017, you'd probably rather go with one of those younger guys than to re-sign Drew Brees.
I would. Well, it depends on how Brees does. I'd still, at this stage, rather have Brees than Cutler. Don't know if I can say that next year, but I just have a sneaking suspicion if Cutler's available and I'm having to choose between those two, I probably still want Brees.
Really?
Yeah.
Oof. Okay.
So.
I think I might take Cutler at this point. Brees just doesn't look like the same guy to me.
No, but Cutler's never looked like the guy.
And he's not good. Don't get me wrong. But, I mean, Brees still puts up, he still throws for a lot of yards. It's also sort of a product of the way that team plays.
Well, and they have no defense, and he's been forced to have to do a lot. And I think that's, and there have been times when Cutler's been in that situation too.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a quick break.
Yeah, it's tough. That's a tough call.
Yeah, I'd like to go none of the above if it comes to that.
But eventually, I mean, you see the goes.
Right, you've got them, or you're drafting somebody.
Have somebody.
And, it may be a situation where next year, if they really suck again, they've got a high draft pick.
Here's another one. How about if Alex Smith is let go at the end of the year? I'm surprised he wasn't on that list either. But if Alex Smith gets let go, would you rather re-sign Drew Brees or sign Alex Smith?
At his age, I think I'd rather have Alex Smith than a lot of guys, simply because I know while I'm not great, I can win games with him.
Yeah.
So
you also have to change the way you play if you replace Drew Brees with Alex Smith.
Well, I don't know what Sean Payton can get out of him either.
Yeah.
Anyway, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome to the Houston Chronicle podcast. Bring it to Jerome with your host, Chronicle Sports columnist Jerome Solomon.
Send it in, Jerome!
Jerome's in a half. I said Jerome's in a half. Bring it on home. Ow! Bring it to Jerome.
There's money and there's money and there's real money. You know, I'm not happy with the start, but I'm not nervous either. Hey, if I'm nervous and, running around with my hair on fire, that's not going to bode well for the rest of the group. So we try to keep everybody calm.
What Golden Gloves and won twice. And, I came to the NBA to be a jump shooter. I didn't come here to be a boxer. So then I got the Napoleonic complex with a chip on my shoulder. I said, if you come close enough where I can smell your bad breath, I'm knocking you out. And I said to myself, no, he didn't. I said, no, I got to whoop his ass.
And we're back on the what? I gotta ask, what the hell is that?
John, what do you mean? John produced a new intro for Jerome.
No, I think that's so. For one thing, you guys are actually doing podcasts on cron.com now.
I'm the first one. You know, we're so ahead of the curve. You know, that we figure we want to get podcasts out there before anybody else is doing them. So they got me doing podcasts now, and those are some clips from my first two, which is your Calvin Murphy there at the end and Jim Crane as well.
Who is the girl who introduced you?
Her name is Michelle. You don't know her.
Oh, okay.
She doesn't work for the Chronicle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because she actually has a nice voice.
Michelle Lamb.
Ow! Bring it to Jerome.
What? That boy can sing, can
he? He's pretty talented.
That's an old Bo Diddley classic cut. You probably wouldn't know nothing about that.
See? But I would never say that boy, because that would be like Steven Adams calling Steph Curry and Klay Thompson fast little monkeys.
Depends on the tone you throw with it, you know. But you know, it's not.
If you say that boy can sing like you're from New Zealand, it's okay. But if you're just a regular white boy, you can't say.
Well, it depends on if you're from a place where you call black people, grown black men, boy in a derogatory manner, as has been known throughout American history. And
there's places where people do that
for people around the globe to call black men monkeys. So that's a little testy. I don't think he meant anything by it, but I certainly understand why people eyes are raised. You know, hey, why would you go there with it? You know,
were your eyes raised at the fact that the Thunder not only kind of won that game, but I mean, it's got to be like kind of a deflating loss for the Warriors. They really just took that game from them in the fourth quarter, where the Warriors have been so great. Were you surprised at how that game went down?
No, not at all. I mean, that's the thing. Portland did that to them. You know, and Portland could have won another game or two. You know, and obviously, Portland is nowhere near as good. Portland's two best players aren't as good as Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. So, yeah, I'm not at all surprised by that. I mean, and what the Warriors did and the way that they play, it's amazing that they won as many games as they did, because these types of games should come from the way that they play. You know, after the game, they're talking about, well, we took quick shots and we took some bad shots. Well, y'all take bad shots every night. They just go in so regularly. It's ridiculous. That's been a sign of their amazing season, that they've been able to win as many games as they did with, you know, Curry shooting these ridiculous shots and turning around and looking away and walking off and showboating and everything. It's all fine and entertaining, but you get up against a team like this on a night like that and you get got. And you know, it's not like Oklahoma City played that. They didn't play that well at all. They could play a heck of a lot better. So maybe it's a wake-up call for Golden State to, you know, lock back in a little bit, but this could be a heck of a series.
Do you see any chance that the Cavaliers lose in the East?
No, not at all. I mean, they're just a better team. I mean, there's nothing that Toronto can do to win four games. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I'm thinking two is a push.
Everybody getting hurt, you know what I mean? They'll struggle to win a game, let alone try to win four. So the Cavs will be waiting on the winner of the Western Conference Final.
Ryan wants to know, does your podcast come with slideshows?
Everything comes with slideshows. What a dumb question.
tell us a little bit about what you're going to do on this. And, nice of them to finally get in the business. I mean, I know they're making so much money off the newspaper that they really probably couldn't afford to take time to do this, but good for them. Yeah,
it's been a long time coming. It's gonna be me being me. I mean, as you can tell from the clips there, and this one is, you know, pretty timely in terms of Calvin Murphy, who I was amazed. I was talking to a couple of, you know, people who are, you know, not necessarily young, they're 30, and all they know about Calvin Murphy is, you know, he's a guy that wears funny looking suits and talks crazy at Rockets games, and people didn't have a full understanding of how great of a basketball player he was And so I, you know, he's a guy that's one of my idols. I really wanted to share much more of his personality and his story. And with the talk about the fight from Sunday, it's fitting too, because most, very few people know about Calvin Murphy as a fighter. He was the baddest man in the NBA his entire career, bar none. There was no debate about it. He went, the best count we could come up with is he was about 17-0, and he used to knock people out. He drew blood and had, you know, was hurting some people. He doesn't like to talk about it, and he stopped talking about it after Rudy Tomjanovich was almost killed in a fight in a game, you know, in Los Angeles by Kermit Washington. Everybody knows about that. And just a few weeks before that fight, Sports Illustrated did a cover story and named Murphy one of the league's enforcers. Everybody else on the list, all the other five of guys, were all 6'10", and, you know, nasty beasts of guys, including Kermit Washington. And, of course, Murphy is 5'9". But he talks about it just for me, and there was some really funny stories about beating up Norm Nixon and Norm Van Leer and a couple of other guys. So it's pretty interesting stuff. And the Jim Crane is him talking about, you know, his background, things about him that people don't know, opening up a little bit about who he is and what makes him who he is, and playing golf with the president and trying to beat Tiger Woods on the golf course. And Crane is good enough to do that. So it's pretty fun stuff. I hope that going forward I'll keep having some really interesting interviews.
Really wish he'd open up the wallet and go get some more players that can actually pitch.
He talked about that too.
Yeah.
No. He's like, no, he's not good. He can't compete with Los Angeles and Boston and digging in his pockets. And there's a little snippet in there that you might have missed where he says, it's amazing for a guy with as much money as he has. I always crack up it whenever he uses this phrase, but he tells me, hey, there's money, and then there's real money. He doesn't think he has real money.
Do you think that, you know, maybe a guy like Carlos Gomez, who's been so disappointing, is going to kind of discourage him from spending more money?
No. He's already discouraged before stuff like that even came up. But the day he was announced as the owner, it may have been the same day or the day after not A-Rod. It might have been A-Rod, but one of those guys with one of those $300 million type deals or whatever was signed right about that time, and he's like, no, we won't ever do that because those things never work out. And we'll never be that team. And that was before he'd even, you know, got his hands in there. And he's just against that across the board. I think they need to spend more. I don't think there's any question about that. But he won't spend it until they make it. And that's the thing. So they made more money last year, and he spent a little bit more this year. But until they make more, it's just not going to happen. Now, he takes care of his employees, but as far as the players go, they have an idea of how to make things work, and they're not going to mess around with that. They're going to ride it. But, you know, he talks about his, you know, the other people that work at the Astros. He always gives yearly bonuses, even when the team wasn't doing that well early on, and he doubled the bonus last year. But, you know, that's play money compared to what a top line pitcher or a great outfielder would bring in.
Yeah, I find it odd that a market this big, you don't have to compete with the Dodgers and Yankees, but you can't compete with, I don't know, Philadelphia, some of these other markets.
Yeah, you can, but they really got hosed on the TV deal. You know, they lost their equity in that. And, you know, the deal that Drayton McClain signed, had Crane gotten that and gotten that money and that guarantee and that locked in as part of the whole package, which is one of the reasons he paid as much for the team as he did, then, you know, they would have more money to spend. But, you know, the money that the Rangers even bring in from television, the money that Seattle brings in yearly from television, that TV money for the regional network is a huge, you know, game changer for most teams. And the Astros didn't get the big take that they expected when they had the Comcast Sportsnet. Now at Root, they're getting a guarantee, so they do have more, but it's not nearly what they were, you know, penciling in. So it's cheap. But
they made a bad deal, and because of that, they're not going to spend money.
Well, they didn't make a bad deal. They got bad dealed you know, AT&T.
Anybody could have told you that every one of those networks, every one of those providers were reacting against these things at that time. And it was happening in L.A. It was happening in a lot of places. And if you really went in thinking, oh, it'll work fine here, that wasn't doing your due diligence. So.
Yeah, but they got in. It's a little trickier than that, but you know, you could see it coming. But other people have gotten paid. You know, other people have gotten the deal done to get huge monies from it as well. Right about the same time, theirs was just what and Drayton took the money and ran. That was one of the reasons Drayton didn't sell the first time in a certain way, that Drayton was going to get, you know, a lump sum of funds out of it and got out of it. I mean, like I said, I'm not excusing Crane on this at all. It's one of those where, hey, you thought it was going to be X, and it ended up being X minus a whole lot of money. So it's, but they didn't read it right.
Plus, they mismanaged the thing when it got started anyway, which is another story in and of itself. But
oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, they because they thought it was going to work, they were really thinking about making a whole lot of money, and they needed it. That was. Their whole business plan included it, you know, and that's what, you know, the Rockets were always upset with. The Rockets were like, wait a minute, you know, we didn't need this as part of our business plan. We were just going to add this on as, you know, as extra. The Astros were using it as like, this is money we're going to use to do stuff with. So, you know, they had competing interest in getting it done. The Rockets would have gotten it done, and we would have Comcast Sportsnet up a long time ago. The Astros weren't about to.
How often are you going to do the podcast, Jerome?
At least once every 2 weeks. It might, you know, speed up to once a week once I get the flow going.
All right. Awesome. Jerome Solomon, Houston Chronicle. Always a pleasure, Jerome, and enjoy the rest of your week, my friend.
All right, guys. Anytime. Take care.
All right. Right now, I got to tell you about Blue Apron, which is, man, I've got some great stuff coming. My order showed up today, and the food is so awesome. Fresh, high-quality ingredients, and this food's better for you. I'm eating so much healthier, and it's so easy to cook these meals. I send them to you with everything, all the proportions set up. They're pre-proportioned, so you know exactly what to do. You can do it in less than 40 minutes, and you're getting great meals and less than $10 a meal. And you're getting – I mean, they have such high quality of artisanal suppliers, family-run farms, fisheries, ranchers, the Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, heirloom tomatoes. I had the General's chicken, a great Chinese dish last week, which is fantastic. They deliver seasonal recipes, and they make delicious home-cooked meals.
Yeah, this stuff is amazing. And whatever your dietary needs, they can adjust to that. Whatever your tastes, whatever your family size, however many people you got to feed, they're going to adjust to that as well. I've got some seared salmon with the lemon aioli cooking up tonight. It really is amazing, and it's less than $10 per meal, which is way cheaper than you could get at the grocery store if you went out to eat. Check out this week's menu. Get your two meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/blitz. You're going to love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/blitz.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. The Blitz is going down 45 South again Friday to do a live broadcast. Join us at Quaker Steak and Lube on 45 and FM 646 in League City from 4 to 7. Friday special features local brewery running Walker IPA for just $4 plus lots of other happy hour specials. Visit ESPN975.com for more info. All right. How about tomorrow we're going to be out at Constellation Field for the Skeeters.
Yes.
So how about we give something away here for that? How about a pair of tickets to see the Skeeters take on the Long Island Ducks this Thursday? Plus, it's Thirsty Thursday with $2 beers and sodas. May 19th, it's affordable family fun. Okay, so this is for Thursday, not tomorrow. Log on to SugarlandSkeeters.com to get your tickets now Thursday night's game. $2 beers and sodas. May 19th.
All right.
Caller 15. Dunsky. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Okay, we go to Florida, where a Polk County man was apparently a 21-year-old. Woman called police, said her son needed psychological help and was having, quote, an episode. I'm just guessing it's because he's from Florida. So the police went to get him. He ran into a wooded area behind their apartment. And the Lakeland County Police Department enlisted the help of the sheriff's office helicopter, canines to search the area. Finally, they found him lying in the ground. And apparently he had jumped in a lake to avoid them. And you know what happens when you jump into a lake in Florida?
Oh, I got ate by an alligator.
You get your arm bitten, your forearm bitten off by an alligator.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So approximately 3/4 of his left forearm was missing when authorities found him.
Not a great hiding spot.
No. So he will face no criminal charges because apparently he really does have some issues. But there was a big sign that said, caution, alligators frequent this area, right where he dived in.
Shame.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to make too much fun of the guy because obviously he has mental issues, but at the same time, even if you have mental issues, can't you read a sign? Don't jump in where the alligators are.
Yeah, not much common sense involved there.
No, no. So anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So my alternate Gem of the Day. It visually, it's cool, but I don't know if it really works as a gym. But apparently, somebody in St. Paul had built a Scooby-Doo van, the Mystery Machine, and crashed it into a house. But it's funnier when you look at it, because you can, you know, it looks just like the one that they had in the show. Were you a big Scooby-Doo fan?
I liked Scooby-Doo when I was little.
Yeah, I was kind of hit and miss. I had a weird attraction to Velma. I don't know why. Even though I don't think she rolled my way. But
it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I like Daphne too.
Right.
But I always figured Daphne was out of my league. But Velma,
she definitely was.
But Velma, I might, you know, just might be my type.
I think Daphne maybe until Jessica Rabbit came around, maybe the hottest cartoon character chick
up there. Certainly up there. But
Jessica Rabbit's a trump card for all lady cartoon characters.
But. Yeah, except when you know, if you want to start really breaking down some of the Disney princesses in cartoons, like Jasmine's pretty hot. You know, she just doesn't have the breasts that Jessica Rabbit had.
Exactly.
And I'll go a step farther. I think Bugs is a female pretty hot too.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that was the other one. I do have a,
you know, Bugs is a rabbit.
Well, so's Jessica.
No, she's not. She's married to a rabbit.
Yeah, which means she's half rabbit. She's got a little rabbit in her.
No.
She's got a little rabbit in her.
Zero rabbit.
That she's into bestiality. So either way, pretty weird.
I mean, that I'm not going to defend her on it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, she's
not a rabbit.
Patty cake with a rabbit. If they had kids, they'd be half rabbit.
Right.
So but therefore,
she's not a rabbit.
I'm going to go with just a little bit weird, though.
Okay. But not a rabbit.
I still.
Weird, I'll give you.
Well,
not a rabbit.
I'll.
You said that you were attracted to a rabbit in drag.
I didn't say that. I just said it was very interesting.
Okay.
I found that interesting. Whenever Bugs dressed up as a woman, come on, man. Who didn't look at that? Hey, that's kind of.
That I didn't.
Yeah, okay. Maybe.
Jung, you?
No.
You had to think Bugs is a little hot. Come
I
on.
I think you're on your own on this one, Fowler.
Somebody said when I first started listening to you guys at noon, you had the hot cartoon debate. The one that kind of got overlooked, and I don't know, I'm not even sure she exists anymore, the insurance chick and the insurance commercials. Yeah. She was hot.
Yeah.
That one was my new favorite.
She got replaced by Flo.
Yeah, which not hot. Not attractive.
Although, you know what? I saw the funniest Flo commercial ever where.
Did she die in it?
No. But she's at someone's house and. It's about homeowners insurance, and this chick is married to the Kool-Aid man. It's like a normal lady who happens to be married to the Kool-Aid man, and he comes like busting through the wall and says, oh, yeah. And I was like, I think it's a funny concept that a regular woman would be married to the Kool-Aid man.
Hmm. Okay, I've not seen that. And
Flo was still obnoxious, as always.
But, yeah.
But the concept of the commercial was solid.
I can't stand Flo. Double Down wants to know, so Howard the Duck is disturbing for bestiality, but Jessica Rabbit's okay?
They never show intimate scenes between Roger Rabbit and Jessica Rabbit.
I think you can use your imagination.
They actually showed it in Howard the Duck, and it was super weird.
Well, I'm sure if there were a PG-13 version of Who Framed Roger Rabbit, they would show it.
I'm sure they would.
And you know what? I bet it's on the director's cut. They took it out because it was for kids. So, yes, there was obvious sex going on between a rabbit and Jessica. Brett brings up a great one. All the chicks in heavy metal. Hottest animated chicks ever, at least while I was a kid. Yeah, that was... Yeah, that was material for me, was that movie. There were some very attractive cartoon women. Just do your read before this gets weird.
What are we doing here, John? Window World. Window World, one of our fine new sponsors. And listen, the summer is here. It's about to be here. And you can start paying a lot more on your electric bill. And there's ways to save on that. And it's with replacement windows, energy efficient replacement windows from our good friends at Window World. Lowering your energy bills every month is just one of the benefits, though, of the double pane energy efficient replacement windows. Double hung windows mean top and bottom tilt for easy cleaning. Vinyl trim means you never have to repaint these windows. They're American made. Premium quality means the best for less with a lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage. Financing's available, so call Window World today for a free estimate, 713-439-1172. Let them go check out what you got going on. See how much it would cost you to get new windows. And I'm telling you, the added value to your home, if you're looking to sell, that's a great thing, a cheap thing at $189 a window to really up the value of your home. That's go to windowworldhouston.com or, again, call them for a free estimate today, 713-439-1172. Window World, simply the best for less. You come.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.